Wake up, everybody. It's time for the best new podcast with the best new country artists in the world. It's time for Up and Country. I'm your host, Ike Everard, and join me for the next half an hour as I take you on a journey with one of my favorite new country artists.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into Up and Country, episode 4. I'm Ike Everard, and today's guest is someone I'm really excited about, Sophia Scott. She started releasing music back in 2016, and it's just this really cool blend of country and pop. She calls it Southern Pop, Colorado Country, whatever you want to refer to it as. It is unique and it's special, and she'll tell you about how she keeps those country tenets like storytelling and, you know, lyricism so strong in her music while still embracing this modern sound, which really has allowed her to grow. Her song in 2018 called She Ain't Me has over 5 million streams on Spotify, and she's racking up over 140,000 listeners per month. So, you know, she's done a great job of marketing herself. She just moved to Nashville from LA. She'll tell you about her journey coming up right now.
Hello?
Hey, how you doing?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. How's the quarantine life been going?
It's been a little crazy.
Yeah.
But it's good. We moved from LA to Nashville in November, and then have been here for like however long. We had been there for however long, and then the tornadoes hit, and so it's just been
right
crazy.
That's, yeah.
And then all of this started, so
yeah, wild time
to
move.
A whirlwind.
That's a big move,
exactly.
Though.
Yeah, it was for sure. I've been coming out here a lot. Over the years, just for like writing trips and such, and meetings and stuff. From California, and then finally just like after hearing it so many times of people being like, you really need to be in Nashville, I finally was like, all right, I'm just gonna move there.
Yeah, because you had been in LA then for a little while, right? Originally,
yeah, I had been in LA for like 6.5 years. I'm originally from Colorado,
right? So what was like the decision making to go to LA initially?
To go to LA. So I went to school in San Diego to San Diego State.
Okay.
And then I sort of had like California friends. There was like some friends in San Diego, and then I was kind of there like after college. And, I had been like sort of like performing around San Diego, like sort of, I guess. And finally one of my friends got a job at a Universal Music Group, and he was like, dude, you really need to move to LA with me and like really make this work. So then I just did.
Yeah, I mean, and it totally did, because you started out on YouTube, right? And mm-hmm. kind of came up through that. You're doing a lot of covers. I saw you just posted a Dua Lipa cover.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, look at you. You did your homework.
always. What was that like? Just how did you get noticed from YouTube?
Yeah, so I speaking of my roommate, he was working at Universal Music Group, and he was like, so I actually had started the YouTube channel in college, but I never, like, I had some random songs on it that I had recorded, but I didn't really do any covers, and then that kind of started becoming a thing that people were doing. And my roommate was really hip to that whole scene, and working at Universal Music Group, he kind of knew like a bunch of the new singles and stuff that were coming out. So I sort of had like an inside scoop from him about like what could be some smart covers to do. And it was right when Tovalo was sort of coming up, and she had the song Stay High. And so I covered that song, and then they did like a big remix of it. And so the cover, and I think the cover was like one of the first covers of that song ever to be out. And so because of that, it gained a ton of traction. And so that was kind of the first one. And then I just kept continuing to do it, and they all just kind of picked up a ton of steam. And that actually was sort of my way of meeting a lot of the initial people that I met, like producers and other writers and just collaborators in LA, was all through YouTube.
And so how did you pitch your music to them? Because you, like, I guess I saw somewhere you label it as Southern Pop, so you're not afraid of that pop label, which...
No.
Yeah, I feel like that's pretty unique and pretty cool. What did you say to them?
Thank you. Sorry, what did I say to who?
Oh, just to like people that you met in the industry. How did you pitch your music to them?
Oh, like as far as my genre? Well, it's funny. Speaking of Tovalo, I kind of describe myself as like a country Tovalo. At least that's the direction I really want to continue heading. Even now, I don't feel like it's quite there yet. But, you know, I have so many influences just from growing up that are pretty eclectic group of influences. And I had a lot of, you know, R&B, Mariah Carey, Toni Braxton going on. And then also country, Shania Twain, Leanne Rimes, Dixie Chicks. And so I kind of have formed this, my own hybrid of sound, but I guess how I always describe it is that it's a country lyric and a story. I'm very much a storyteller, but I like the pop production, and I like to add some soul and grit too.
Yeah, no, I totally noticed that. Like, there's definitely something unmistakably country about your music, but it definitely also has that kind of poppy sound, which is cool.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, and I saw you were just on the iHeartRadio Women of Country playlist about a month ago. What was that like? There was some really big names on there.
Yeah, I was super stoked about that. It was awesome. I had found out because they had reached out to me to tell me that it was going to be played. And so I just kind of sat in my car waiting, told family about it, and it was a pretty surreal moment when I heard it come on for the first time. I was bawling, crying.
Yeah, I saw the video on Twitter. That's pretty awesome.
Oh, you saw it, yeah.
Yep. So let's go back then. You talked about your family. Yeah, you mentioned your family. Let's go back before it all. What was your childhood like, and what got you into music?
Well, I grew up in Boulder, Colorado, and my family is, my immediate family, you know, I would say is musical in that they always had music playing and they were always getting me into new music. They aren't musicians per se themselves, but my dad's side of the family has a long list of musicians, and I think just from a very young age, honestly, I think Disney movies and all of those songs are really what were probably like my first spark of love for music. I just had all of those. I remember listening to the Lion King tape every single night before bed.
What was your favorite Disney song growing up?
The Little Mermaid, Part of That World.
Okay, nice.
Yeah. Lion King songs were a close second.
Yeah, one of my friends is really big Disney fan, so I totally get that.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, good.
That was your music taste as a child. What's your music taste now? What's playing on your Spotify right now if you're opening that up?
Yeah, a bunch of stuff. Dua Lipa, for one. Mm-hmm. I don't know, that's the first step. I've been listening to a lot of Sun and Stella. I love Kelsea Ballerini's new album.
Yep.
Casey Musgraves. I love Maren Morris. And then I'm trying to think. I guess... I I've been actually getting into is Noah Cyrus.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah, her new album's awesome.
Yeah, I actually have a friend from high school who did a song with her. His name's Renz.
Oh, nice.
But yeah, that's pretty awesome.
Well, on her new album?
I think he released it, so it features her, but
Cool.
No, she's really cool.
I'm going to turn this up. She's got kind of a country thing, but then
mm-hmm.
I don't know exactly where.
What do you think the balance is then? Do you listen to like a lot of traditional country too, or not as much?
You know, yeah. I grew up listening to, like I said, like the Dixie Chicks, and I listened to Willie Nelson. My parents always had him on. Merle Haggard and Johnny Cash. So yeah, I would say yes, and then just that mixed with a ton of other things.
Right, totally.
There's just so much going on.
And you mentioned like Maren Morris and Kelsea Ballerini and Casey Musgraves, and it is a really interesting time to be a woman in country music right now. I think
absolutely.
I've noticed, you know, I mean, there was all that drama, I don't know if you saw, with that radio station that wouldn't play back-to-back women artists and all of that going on. So I think like more doors are opening, but it's still, you know, pretty male dominated. Yeah. So how have you seen that impact your career?
100%. I mean, when I initially flew out, I mean, I think it's a huge part of me moving to Nashville is just so that people are taking me that much more seriously, because, you know, I think in order to really pursue country music, you kind of have to be here, at least at the start. And when I first was meeting with publishing companies out here, you know, all I heard every single time in every meeting was that it just doesn't really happen lately. You have to be, you know, exponentially better than everybody else, and even then it's so hard to be a girl in this scene right now, which, like you said, I think, yes, there are, you know, bridges being broken, and I think there's a new way that's being paved, but it's still very difficult. I think the best thing about it is the women standing up for other women and supporting each other. And, you know, like Kelsey Ballerini, for instance, talking back to that radio station and putting it out in front of the world so that people are seeing what's actually happening. I think that there's so many people that just don't even know that that's going on.
Yeah, totally. I mean, that's so huge. And for you, do you think that being more pop inspired, it might be easier for you, or do you still face those obstacles?
Yeah, I wonder, you know, sometimes I think that, and then like some days I think that it works in my benefit, and some days I think it kind of works against me. It's just kind of depends who you're talking to. And if it's, you know, someone that is traditional old school country, they don't want that, you know, to be changed. They don't, I think they,
right.
they're afraid of you going too pop. And I think for some people that are, you know, more open to it and open to country being more than just the way it used to be traditionally, and how it is, you know, the genre is bending in so many directions. And I think that, you know, the more progressive, forward thinking people appreciate it and like the new sound. So I think it just depends who it is.
Yeah. And I mean, certainly your music's been catching on. I mean, She Ain't Me, over 5 million plays on Spotify. That's huge. What was it like to see that take off the way it did?
It was so unexpected. I mean, I really just, you know, it was before, I guess I had gotten on New Music Friday, which was really exciting, but, you know, that's not at all a country playlist,
right?
For the most part. And, you know, I think it was like 3 months after it came out, I got an email saying it was on New Boots, maybe one of the country Spotify playlists. And then from there, it just kept getting added to more and more playlists. And I don't know, it just kind of organically blew up. It was posted on, someone else posted in our big YouTube channel, and it kind of grew from there. So I was really excited to see that, you know, the song really spoke for itself, and that there still hasn't really been much of a push with it. It just really grew organically, and people just really seem to respond to it, which I am very thankful for.
Yeah, I'm curious. I'm always curious, you know, when a song blows up, do you think that's your best song, or were you surprised that it was that one?
At the time, I definitely thought it was my best song.
Yeah.
I still think that, you know, I think that what the song stands for, which is like, it's like a power breakup song, I think that a lot of people can really relate to that. And I think, you know, I feel like just people needed it in a way. I don't know, it's just one of those kinds of songs that it didn't surprise me that it was the one. It's not maybe my favorite now, but I always really believed in it, so I wasn't shocked that that was the one.
Yeah, no. And I mean, what is your favorite now?
Probably some of the ones that I haven't released yet.
Like, okay. That's exciting. Yep.
Yeah. There's a lot behind the scenes.
Sure, sure. I mean, you only have what, singles out on Spotify right now, and then the three covers.
Right.
Those three covers are really cool.
I've been considering putting more of those. People always, I mean, those were just on YouTube, and then people had, you know, commented being like, please put these on Spotify. So I did, and then they got a good reaction. That was so long ago. I guess I should probably do that again.
It would be pretty nice, I think, especially now. Especially now, I think, because, I mean, what have you been doing to work on music during the coronavirus?
It's been really interesting, you know, because normally I go and work with, you know, new collaborators, and we do sessions at wherever it is, and now it's all via Zoom or FaceTime, and it's definitely not the same thing. It's very important, I think, especially for musicians, when you're trying to build a track and write a song and you have all the instruments, it's pretty difficult to do it via Zoom. But I've made the best of it. I actually have written some songs that I really like, that I'm proud of and potentially or I'm going to put out. It's just, you know, like I think with everybody else during this time, it's just been sort of a transition and learning as I go, I guess. But since it's kind of the new norm at this point, I'm like used to it.
Yeah, right. Like you gotta adapt.
Yeah, you gotta adapt, exactly.
Take me through your writing process, because I notice on a lot of your songs, you're the only credited writer, but then you have a couple with other people.
Well, my writing process, I guess, is always a little bit different. It kind of depends. I think, like, a lot of the times I will start something and I'll have an idea or a concept or something that I'm feeling, and I'll start writing it on my own, and either finish it on my own or I'll bring it into, you know, a session and talk to people and sort of see what the vibe is, and then we may turn it into something that it completely wasn't at the beginning, or we'll just, you know, go from the one idea and turn it into that thing. And I don't know, I think it always kind of fluctuates with how it goes. And sometimes I'll just bring in a title and then we'll all sit in the room and talk and figure out what we want to write about. And, you know, we all kind of go off each other's emotions, and it's very interesting. I always talk about songwriting with other people, like, as if it's speed dating, because you really have to, you always meet, I meet new people all the time that I'm just supposed to sort of spill my heart out to and write right. An amazing song within like 5 hours. So, you know, you kind of have to have this element of trust and, I don't know, I guess it's just like vulnerability and, just kind of go into it and expect that everybody else in the rooms isn't on the same page and go from there.
Yeah. It's a big, you know, a big step to write a song with somebody, for sure.
Yeah, it definitely took time to lose my fear of saying something stupid, or, you know, just being fear of like rejection, I guess.
Right. Is your notes app on your phone just packed with song ideas? Do you use that or do you use something else?
Oh my God, just completely packed. And my voice memo app as well just is flooded. Yeah, that's what I use, and then I'll, you know, as far as melodies, I do a lot of writing, ironically, while I'm driving, I think, is where my ideas often come from. I don't know why that is, but I know it's different for different people, but...
Yeah, no, I get that, though. I'll be singing along in the car, and then the song will end, and, like, the guitar riff will keep going, and I'll just make up lyrics at the end, you know? I totally get it.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't know. There's just something kind of like therapeutic about driving in a way that, I don't know, it makes you think. But yeah. So I have just, you know, a lot of the time since I'll be driving, I'll like record, like, whether it's lyrics or a melody or whatever it is, into a voice note. And then usually when I get home, I'll craft that into some better lyrics and then go from there.
Sure, yeah. I mean, that's an interesting process. So I saw in a different interview that you did, you mentioned that you'd want to cover Eminem's Cleaning Out My Closet. That would be...
Oh my God, I don't even remember saying that.
Well, it's on the internet, so...
Oh, wow, yeah. No,
it's there.
I'm sure I did say that. Yeah, no, I definitely went through a phase of wanting to do, like, rap songs, and I was trying to find... I think I ended up doing a Drake song instead of that, but okay. Yeah, no, that's a good idea. I should still do that.
Yeah. Do you listen to a lot of rap?
I mean, I was obsessed with Eminem. I listen to a fair amount of rap. My boyfriend loves rap, so
yeah, so it'll carry over a bit. Yeah. Have you ever...
Yeah, I like more of the old school rap, though.
Okay. Yeah. Have you ever been asked to be like do a chorus in a rap song?
You know, yes, but I don't, like, not for anybody big.
Sure, okay.
For, like, random, yeah. And I've definitely done some, like, sample-type stuff, but nothing's really stuck yet, I guess.
Okay, well, maybe someday.
I would love to have, and that's actually, like, top of mind recently, that I would love to have a rapper come in and be on one of my songs, especially one of these new ones.
Yeah, that would be really cool, kind of cross over with that.
Yeah, so hopefully that happens.
Hey, maybe you can pick up a feature on Eminem's next album, too.
I know, I'm definitely leaning towards Eminem. We'll see if we can get him.
That would be pretty great. I saw you had the purple hair on your Instagram.
Oh, yeah. It's just hair chalk. It's not real hair dye. my hair has changed colors a million times.
It actually has
been those colors.
You know, you got to figure out ways to spice it up during all this, so.
Oh, my God,
Was that your dog you were with in that photo?
Yeah, that's my dog.
Nice. What's his name?
It's a girl. Her name's Pancha. She's from Mexico.
Oh, cute.
And then we have another one as well named Boogie.
Did you have them in L.A.? Did they make the move with you, or you got them after?
They did, yeah. So we got them both in L.A., and then we drove out here from California with them, which I do not suggest.
Yeah.
It was kind of a nightmare, but we were here.
What did you drive in?
Oh, Subaru.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
I have a Subaru Crosstrek. But just, I mean, it took so long, and, you know, we had to stop in Utah. Is that where we stopped twice. We stopped once in Colorado. But anyway, like, just having to find the dog hotels and then them being paranoid and anxious. And whenever a door slammed, like, in the hallway, they would start barking so we couldn't sleep. And it was just not fun.
Yeah, I don't know if that would be the greatest travel companions, but worth it now, I'm sure.
Worth it now. Yeah, now that we're here, it's all in the past.
Yeah. So it really is interesting to me that you're from Colorado, because that's such, like, a melding point of the country, you know, right in the middle, and your musical style is such a meld of these different genres. Yeah.
It's funny, I used to call it, at one point I was branding it as Colorado country.
Yeah, I get it. But
I don't really know exactly what that means. I don't know if people I don't know if people would know what that meant enough, you know.
True. I mean, you got to make them know what it means then.
Exactly, yeah. But yeah, I mean, I grew up with horses. They weren't my horses, but they may as well have been in our backyard. Our neighbors, like, leaned right up to our property line, and so the horses were, like, leaning over our field, and I just pretended they were mine and went out with my cowboy boots on.
So you grew up with horses. Now you have the dogs.
We also had goats at one point.
Nice.
It was kind of a country farm lifestyle.
Yeah. So I think that comes through in the music too. What is the coolest experience you've had since you've got to Nashville?
I mean, I would probably say hearing my song on the radio, but we already talked about that.
Right.
actually, maybe more than that. I don't know. Possibly a tie. When the tornadoes happened, Sheryl Crow she's potentially my number one hero in life. She's, I think, my favorite maybe artist, and I just have always loved her as a human being. And she did this concert and for the tornado relief, and then she sold a bunch of her clothes secondhand, and all those proceeds went to the tornado relief, and she was in the store, and so I got to meet her and talk to her for a second, and that was a big moment for me because I just love her so much.
That is really cool. What did she say to you?
Yeah. Well, I was wearing this jacket because she had just performed, and she was like, "I love your jacket. I saw you when I was on stage, and I really noticed your jacket." And she was like, "That's such a cool jacket." And I honestly, like, I've met celebrities before. I don't know what the deal was, but I, like, completely, like, lost control of my speech and was shaking and, like, dry mouth. Fully was, like, fangirling and couldn't get a lot of words out. So it probably wasn't a great experience for her.
I'm sure she remembers it, though. And now once, you know, once you meet her again.
Maybe she'll remember my jacket.
Hopefully, hopefully. What did the jacket look like?
You know, it's my mom's old. It's like a vintage, like wool. It looks like a giant blanket.
Is what okay. It looks like. Yeah, that's like, awesome that she noticed your mom's jacket. That's really cool.
Yeah, it was sweet.
So, yeah, I mean, you've been writing a bunch in Nashville, and have you been working on an album then?
Yeah, I'm working sort of, you know, that's kind of the goal. I feel like it's kind of a singles world right now.
Yeah.
So an album might be difficult, but I have been really, really wanting to put some kind of a project together and some kind of body of work out. So whether that's an album or a smaller EP or something, that's definitely the plan for this year or early next year.
Hey, well, you know, I don't think Colorado Country is too bad of an album name.
Ooh, I love it.
It kind of has a nice little ring to it.
That does. Ooh.
So maybe, yeah, keep that one in mind. For sure. Yeah. All right, well, I'll let you get going. But, yeah, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, for sure. So, again, that was Sophia Scott. Make sure you go on Spotify, check out her music. It's really, really good. And the stuff that she's doing, you know, releasing singles and maybe working up towards an album, pretty unique. I gotta say that the way that she approaches music is unlike anyone else that I've talked to. And I think that that is something that could really take her far in the industry. You know, through YouTube, through covers, through the reluctance to really work towards an album and stick to the singles, because that's what's been working for her, I think is a pretty smart strategy, especially in today's era where, you know, one song can really make an entire career. She's got to build off the momentum that she has and just continue to release that music, continue to tell her story and her unique sound, because it is special and it is something that I think is currently lacking. You know, in today's country music, you have a lot of women now chasing that more rootsy country sound like Haley Witters and Tennille Towns. And then you got your mainstreams like Maren Morris. But I think that country pop sound is something that's been done from the guy's side, but hasn't really been hit yet from the girl's side. So Sophia Scott, definitely one to watch. She's someone who really could fill that niche and really, I think, take the genre by storm here in the next couple of years. So that's it for episode 4. Make sure you tune in next week. Got another guest coming on. Pretty excited about that one as well. So make sure to check out the Twitter. Stay tuned for updates and for the announcement of that guest. Again, I'm Ike Everard. This is Up and Country. Hope that you have a great day.
For more, make sure to check out Up and Country on Twitter and follow @Blaze_Country. New episodes coming every week, so make sure to keep that.